Thank you for your enthusiasm. We promised an update, so here it is. We never say never, but we can confirm that there are no plans to bring these three games to the Americas at this time. Thanks so much for your passion and for being such great fans.
Hello and welcome to the NW Newscast, episode 59 for Saturday, July 2nd. Happy July 4th, everybody. Let's get it on. We have Neil Ronahan with us.
Hi.
Andy Gergen, of course.
What is up, Mr. Zachary Miller?
Not a whole lot, sir. An extra special guest, Mike Sklenz.
Hello.
You may remember him from the Homecast.
Yeah.
Or that article he wrote where everyone accused him of trolling.
I thought it was good.
I like that article.
I loved it.
Yeah. Well, we don't have a whole lot to talk about today, but I think what we do have to talk about is quality over quantity. The first thing we have is Operation Rainfall. I'm going to hand it over to Neil because I don't give a crap about Japanese RPGs. Neil, take it over.
All right. First, I will start off by reading this quote. Here is Nintendo's official words on Operation Rainfall. The letter-writing campaign, it's, you know, basically someone, I think, from the IGN forums started this, where in order to get Xenoblade, The Last Story, and Pandora's Tower over North America, basically just bother the shit out of Nintendo of America. So went on Facebook, Twitter, and there's actually a formal letter-writing campaign with, like, a schedule and everything, where people are going to flood Nintendo of America, specifically Reggie, with all sorts of letters about these three games and how badly they want them to come to North America. Nintendo, after like a week of silence, pretty much, has released a statement, and here it is. Thank you for your enthusiasm. We promised an update, so here it is. We never say never, but we can confirm that there are no plans to bring these three games to the Americas at this time. Thanks so much for your passion and for being such great fans. I don't know about you guys,
wow,
but what I just heard was, thank you for your enthusiasm, fuck you, and fuck you.
Neil, I want to applaud you. That was a very good Reggie impersonation. You had his intonation down perfectly.
I had to pause, look at the crowd, move my hand a little bit, take a Game Boy Micro out of my pocket. That's how I did it.
This is the perfect use for that Reggie picture where he's like shrugging his shoulders and he's texting, not my problem.
Like, I almost feel like at this point, maybe no statement would have been better than that.
Yeah.
You think?
That was kind of a douche statement, man.
I mean, it is, but at the same time,
it had to be said.
Something had to be said, otherwise they would have kept writing and writing and writing.
Well,
and it would have ended up like,
they're still going
to
write.
Did they have to, like, give a two-day warning to get everyone's hopes up on Twitter first? That's the real dick move here. Like, 2 days ago, they were like, thanks for your passion, guys. Stay tuned. We have an announcement. And then 2 days later, the announcement is,
no.
Nope.
I didn't know that they said that 2 days ago.
Isn't Xenoblade coming out in Europe, though?
Yeah, it's coming out.
That's the
that means
part.
It's already coming, actually, it's already in ink, been translated.
Yeah, and the last story was confirmed for Europe as well last week, pretty much shortly after this all began. Someone, basically, people from Nintendo Europe probably see this as the greatest thing in the world. And I mean, I feel like they're almost trolling Nintendo of America because they released an Iwata Asks about Xenoblade this week. Like, some guy leaked that the last story was coming to Europe. Like, they're having a ball.
That's insane.
Like, yeah, I'm kind of with Zach. I don't really care about any of these games that much, but it's not like they're busy bringing other things out.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah,
like,
the schedule is dead.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to bring these games out if they're already being localized into an English language.
Well, Andy, they have to take a lot of time to pat themselves on the back for actually finishing Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
It's done, apparently. That's
it's
cool.
Just, that's
so why isn't it coming out next Tuesday?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind that they said something. I just don't like the way they teased you a couple days ahead of time only to drop the other shoe and say, yeah no.
I would have done it without the tease, but it makes sense. I don't know. If you read all this, if you buy into all this social media, you know, voodoo marketing stuff that if people are complaining, you have to address them, because then at least at the end of the day, at least they feel like their complaint was heard, which is better than them just screaming out into the ether.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I don't disagree with that. But yeah, just what a big kick to the balls. Like,
yeah.
Oh, this is just, it's so ridiculous. I don't understand why. I mean, could, is it possible a different publisher could bring these games out? I mean,
Nintendo was historically.
Kohler had an article about that on Game Life yesterday or the day before.
Yeah,
we talked about that and about how specifically when the GameCube came out, Cubivore was released by Atlas in America, even though
and Ogre Battle 64 was released by Atlas in America as well.
Yeah, and
there you go.
He brought up, you know, he brought up that Cubivore example. That's like the last time that happened.
Yeah, there was another one.
They've got the game
too.
And they've just got it on. Yeah, there was Cubivore and something else. They came out together. I can't remember the other game, but they basically have this game. They could easily give it to an American publisher and let them publish it and make some money without having to do any work of their own. They're just not gonna.
Well, I mean, look at you got so many companies that would do this too. Like Atlas would probably shit their pants for this. Xseed as well. Like if you give this company an opportunity, like really, what's the harm? I mean, you look at Solo Turbo, which Xseed is bringing over, which is, that's also news. A Japanese game made by CyberConnect 2 and published by Namco Bandai in Japan. And that game's actually being published by Nintendo in Europe, and it's being published by Xseed in North America. And what Xseed is taking is the European translation and just updating it, you know, making it, put Englishisms in it. Take out the bloodies and the U's.
Yeah.
Spell color correctly.
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of why maybe they wouldn't want to release it is they're afraid it might damage their brand with everyone else. Like,
no.
They don't want to be seen as too Japanese. Like, that's the only, and it's a stupid reason, but it's the only thing I can even fathom.
Yeah.
Remember Pikmin?
As far as the Wii goes, I think Nintendo just doesn't give a shit about us anymore. I mean, I don't like being like, oh, they're so against us, but look at what they've released this year. If we, I mean, okay, yeah, 3DS came out, and I wish there were more games for the 3DS.
3DS was shat out.
Yeah, well, I mean, even still, like, I love Pilot Wings, I love Ocarina of Time, like, there are a lot of good games that have come out on 3DS, I just wish there were more of them. And I think the other problem with 3DS's weak launch is that there's nothing else for any of the other systems. You look at what's come out on Wii this year, you got Mario Sports Mix, Wii Play Motion, and Mystery Case Files. There have been more games published by Nintendo on DS, or at least just as many, because you had Dragon Quest VI and the Pokemon games. And the DS is a dead system.
It could be that maybe they've written off the Wii as a dead system, so they don't.
I think they have.
Well, they're not putting in the effort into, outside of Zelda, and I guess Kirby Wii, they're not really putting in the effort for games that would go outside of their Blue Ocean target Wii Play audience.
And they're not going to put any push behind Kirby Wii.
Yeah, it's just going to get shat out.
They're just going to drop it out there, and just, like, you know, it'll sell some names.
The big question is, like, what exactly are they doing if they're not doing any of these things? Is it at all possible that Nintendo has been reduced to four guys in a garage and no one knows?
I think we're at the point, and you see it at the end of every Nintendo system, where most of the internal teams, like all of the EAD teams, they're working on Wii U titles, and they've probably been doing that for a whole year now.
Yeah.
So they have no Wii titles to put out, because they're all busy working on Wii U titles.
Yeah.
I'm starting to notice a really disturbing trend. This is the third console in a row where the last year of the life has been utter garbage.
Yeah. Although, I remember the thing that kind of offset the GameCube's death was that the DS was outputting really good games. If I do recall.
This is true.
I remember not being all pissed off that the GameCube's life was kind of on its last legs.
Yeah, because that was like when I think that was when like Elite Beat Agents and stuff was coming
out. Yeah, because
like
that was really good. Yeah.
Oh, God, that game is awesome.
And I mean, the last year of the N64, I was 12 at the time, but that was a pretty painful time. I remember
the N64 was pretty painful for its whole life.
What?
Yeah.
I loved Conker and I loved Majora, but
the N64 life was called, like, when I got into every other game system, because I'd just be
PC gamer.
Yeah, I played PC games, I played the PlayStation, I went back and played NES and Super Nintendo games that I missed.
I can only play Mario 64 so many times.
Yeah.
Ironically, the N64 is when I kind of came back to Nintendo, because I had kind of you know, I was a Genesis kid growing up, and when I got a Super NES, it was late in life, and I didn't grow up with a Super NES or anything like that. But it was Smash Brothers, really, almost more than anything else, and Ocarina of Time, I guess, that sort of brought me back into the Nintendo fold. Like, I didn't anticipate the N64 coming out. I mean, I thought Mario 64 was amazing and all, but the GameCube was the first system that I, like, anticipated and bought at launch that they ever put out. So, like, actually, the N64 had...
for helping me anticipate the GameCube.
Yeah, no doubt.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like, I remember getting up early and going to the mall that Sunday and buying a GameCube. But before that, like, I didn't buy an N64 until... I think I got my N64 after Zelda came out. So
yeah.
I certainly wasn't early to the party.
Can I say something about the 3DS that I was reminded of when Neil was talking about it?
Yes.
That thing is a dust magnet.
Oh, my God, yes.
I wipe it off twice a day.
I scratch my screen trying to wipe the damn thing off with my shirt already.
Ooh. Use a glasses cloth.
Yeah. Well, I just got this fancy new Club Nintendo case, and it's very felty. It would probably do the job.
I got the Terry cloth from them with that exact idea in mind, because I've learned that, like a listener pointed out to us via listener mail a few weeks ago, the 3DS is designed to scratch itself.
Yeah, it is.
The top screen on my 3DS now has perfectly lined scratches that line up perfectly with the bottom screen inset.
I see them. I just thought they were like...
I can wipe mine off.
See, I think it actually does depend a little bit on your system, because I see the same things, and they're just little smudges that I can just...
Yeah, mine are like...
Yeah,
just like
I thought they were smudges too. Mine look like smudges until I spent 5 minutes trying to get them off and couldn't.
All right.
You got to send that shit
in. I'm buying a screen protector this weekend then.
Well, After my experience with both those scratches and also my L button stopped working briefly earlier
this
week.
That's right.
I was playing Zelda and trying to play the Ocarina with the buttons, and it wasn't working. And I quit to the main menu, turned the system off and on, and I couldn't get the L button to do anything. So I filled out a repair request on their website thinking, well, this is clearly covered, but wow, this sucks. Like, this is awfully early to be having these problems. But then I Googled it before I, you know, had even got my mailing label via email. And I found a thread on, I think, GameSpot, where basically, like, debris gets stuck underneath the button, so the contact gets interrupted. Mm-hmm. And if you blow really hard on the button, like on the crease where the button splits, you can blow it out. Wow. So, like, seriously, are you kidding me? Like, that's an issue 2 months in. I know, like... I have a really, really bad feeling about the longevity of this system. Seriously. Like,
it could just be a launch unit thing that'll get sorted out.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. I have a really bad feeling about these early 3DSs.
You know
maybe
what?
Even...
Remember the Red Ring? That turned out okay. It was a pain in the ass, but everything's fine now.
Well, everyone got a new Xbox, at least. And a nice, like, 3-year warranty extension.
So I guess the idea is I'm not rushing to mail the thing back for warranty right now because of this L button or the scratches, because I am fairly convinced that within a year I'll be doing it anyway for something else.
So well, you know, these launch 3DSs will last until Nintendo decides to launch the 3DSi.
Then they'll just all break.
No, like, I'm really concerned about, like, 2 months in and I'm already having these kinds of problems. Like, and it's not even, like, it's not even, like, the button getting damaged or anything. Like, it was just... dust managed to get in there. Like, wow. Like, that's kind of scary. But anyway, I digress.
Let's talk about Resident Evil Mercenaries, the big new 3DS game.
Yeah, I posted the review back on Tuesday, and I really, really enjoyed the game. As someone who... I played Mercenaries in Resident Evil 4 what feels like years ago, because it was.
It was.
But playing Resident Evil the Mercenaries 3D was wonderful. I really just enjoy the high-score gameplay, the intense nature of the game. Well, I mean, it still controls like a Resident Evil game, which at this point, I kind of accept it with the territory. And I think that those limitations that they put on you kind of make the game a little scarier, more intense, and it works. It's made to be like that. But as far as like the controls on the actual system, it's really nice. The circle pad feels
good. The controls
good.
Are great.
Yeah, and the way they work in, how you move, and then you just you hold down the R button, and you go into a first-person mode or a third-person mode if there's a setting to change that, so it's more like Resident Evil 4. And you just hold down the R button, and then you use Y to shoot or B to reload, and basically that's how you use your gun. I think it all works really well, and there's not, you know, an overwhelming amount of content. There's 30 missions, but unfortunately, like 10 to 12 of them are training missions. But even still, like, I've put in 7 hours into this game, and I'm not done playing. I'm still working on the bonus missions you unlock at the end of it, and I'm replaying the older ones. I think it's a fantastic game.
Yeah, I really like it. I think it looks really good. But
and with the 3D
it's kind
too.
Of unfortunate. Yeah, the 3D is great in it because your character is like its own
plane.
Yeah, plane. There you go. But I don't really like how if the enemy is more than like 5 feet from you, they move really jaggedly.
Yeah, there are definitely some kind of animation hiccups in the game.
Yeah, but I mean, otherwise it's great. And if I really got into the Mercenaries in 4, and I got into it more when in 5 when they launched all the DLC with all the extra characters. But man, this is a great little game. I was very concerned that it would just be straight Mercenaries, but you know there are all sorts of different missions and different characters. I'm a little disappointed by the character selection.
Yeah,
as a Resident Evil fan.
Yeah, I think you start off with 3 or 4 characters unlocked.
Start out with
Jill.
There
are only 8 characters. You don't have people like Leon or Ada Wong.
You know. Or Sheva. I was expecting Sheva since there's so much Resident Evil 5 in there. They could have many more characters because the characters are really just loadouts.
Yep.
You know, but what are you going to do? Maybe they'll release some DLC.
Krauser's pretty badass. Wesker's cool too.
Oh yeah, Krauser's a badass in 4 too. But, and it has online play, which I haven't tried yet. But
yeah, I've
got to be better than Dead or Alive.
It was kind of funny. I was stuck on a mission, and I went online, and then like it was one where like there's somewhere like you basically have to fight a boss, and that's how you end it. They're usually at the end of the levels of missions that you go through. And I went online, and the dude like beat the boss like within like a minute. And I just got a double S rank, and I didn't do anything. It felt kind of cheap, but it was so great because I was like, lag free experience, and the dude just beat the game for me.
Nice.
Who are the bosses? Are they original bosses, or are they from the games?
I don't know the names of everything. They're like
I know that bat thing is in it.
Yeah, the bat thing. That's what it is.
Oh, okay. But the other... There are other guys like the hammer guy and the axe guy, right? Yeah.
The chainsaw guys, the dual chainsaw guy.
Nice.
They all have names, I know, but I don't know them. It's just a dude who's fucking running at me with claws, and I have to run away and then shoot him in the back.
I hate those guys so much.
But anyway, there's another thing going on with this game, and that's you can't reset the save data at all. Personally, I don't really give a crap. It might also be because I already have the game and I'm not going to have to deal with buying it pre-owned. But I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think there are some other people here that might disagree, so I'll let them talk.
You guys go first.
I don't disagree, but I guess I need a little more background. So to be sure, the game is like an arcade, not like arc, but it's kind of arcade shooter-like where like it's just levels and you go through them and you beat them.
It's horde mode with Resident Evil.
Yeah, okay. So all it's really doing is keeping track of like your statistics and like your
unlocked
like your high score, your unlocked.
And there's also perks that you can get. They're called skills in the game that you unlock as you play, and then you also level them up as you play. So those can't be reset.
So you couldn't start like from level. If you're assuming your character had levels, you couldn't start from level 1.
No.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, it's an issue, and it's certainly like, well, why can't you reset it? I guess they said something about they're saving directly to the cartridge and not to a save file on the 3DS.
Yeah,
this doesn't make any sense at all.
It's an arcade game and shit like that.
It sounds like something that was probably an oversight in the development team, and it just got out there, and they were like, oh, well, don't have time to fix it.
Yeah.
The fact that this game does it doesn't particularly bother me because, I mean, like Neil, you were saying before, it's kind of like, would I care if Smash Brothers wouldn't let me reset the data? And like, no, I wouldn't. And this game plays like that. And, you know, the only thing you really get by putting time into it is more content, and I wouldn't want to lose that content. But if they're going to pull this shit on any other kind of game that I would ever want to restart, like a real Resident Evil game,
yeah, like
for
say
instance.
The other Resident Evil Revelations.
Like Revelations, yeah.
Like, that's a big deal to me. I know that it's not the PC thing to do, but I live and die by the used gaming market, for one. I can't afford to buy new games that often, and I don't have any shame in saying that I buy used games all the time. I buy more used games than new games. I trade games on Guzex. I buy and sell games on eBay, and I'm okay with that because it doesn't keep me up at night. Like, it's a big industry. I'm not the one hurting it. More so than the people who are engaging in piracy, I suppose. But yeah. Like, I know it hurts them. I mean, I think EA has a better idea with charging for their online play with the online pass. It doesn't bother me that much because yeah. I buy EA Sports games new if I want to play them frequently. I think that's a way better way to do it than to completely remove
value. It does make sense to incentivize buying it new as opposed to penalizing people who buy it late or something.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Although
of putting
I guess
it.
At this the same time, not being able to take your used game online without paying $10 is shitty.
Well, it is.
No,
but
I disagree. I think that I disagree because I hate places like GameStop, where I go in and I see a used copy of Transformers War for Cybertron for $54.
And I get one of the reasons it doesn't bother me so much with EA Sports games is because, like, I don't think the used market really hurts them that much, so I don't really feel like it's that.
Yeah,
like
they're iterating new versions of those games
exactly,
every year.
Like,
no one's playing NCAA 11
right.
or NCAA 10 anymore.
Yeah, like, and the kind of people who do buy last year's game are the kind of people who probably wouldn't have ever bought this year's game. Like, it's because there's always a cheaper version of it out there. Like, it, I don't know. It doesn't bother me that much just because of the nature of their business model. But
yeah. In the case of EA, it makes a lot of sense in that when you buy that game, they're getting that money, and you know, a portion of that money is going to support the online infrastructure for the game. But if you buy a used copy from GameStop, they get no money. And now that is another user they have to support that they have no money to support.
Yeah.
So I guess the real question here is, you know, they came out and said the resale value was not a factor in this decision. I know, Mike, you were saying you thought it was just a development oversight.
I literally just thought that up. Like, it seems like it could have been.
Do you guys think this is a strike against used gaming, despite what Capcom said?
Well, look at Capcom's history with, I guess, kind of fighting piracy to a degree. They have the DRM on their. Their downloadable title is like, the Final Fight. There was like the Final Fight game or something
I think it's a Streets of Rage 2.
Or no.
The HD, whichever one was HD.
Final Fight, Double Impact or whatever.
Something like that. And also,
those games basically, they need to be online despite not even having any online capabilities.
Right.
Oh, it's a Ubisoft thing,
Right.
And like when PSN was down, if you had those games, you could not play them.
Oh, the other one was Bionic Commando 2, Rearm 2.
Yeah. They tried the same thing with a couple games with Assassin's Creed Brotherhood on the PC where the game had to phone home, and it would phone home when you booted the game up, and then it would also randomly phone home throughout the playtime. So if you didn't have an internet connection, the game couldn't phone home, and it just wouldn't let you play.
That's
terrible. Somebody had a hack out on day one that got rid of it.
Yeah.
So, like, why did you even put all this money into this system? Obviously, someone is going to break it on day one because you did
it
on PC.
Yeah, that's true.
On a console, you've got a little more leeway into controlling things, but on PC, why are you even trying to put DRM on things?
Yep.
Yeah, no doubt.
You will lose
the other thing.
Money.
The other thing Capcom does is they don't let you transfer certain game files, saves, to a new system, which I think is just absolute bullshit.
Fair,
there's no reason to do that.
Nintendo did that with Brawl, I believe.
Nintendo did that with Animal Crossing. We had a second Wii.
Really?
When my girlfriend and I moved in together, we had two Wiis, and we were like, well, let's just sell one. Mine had a shitload of Virtual Console games on it. Hers didn't, so we were like, well, we'll keep mine, but her Animal Crossing save file was on hers. So I had to hack the Wii to get the Animal Crossing save file and move it.
Wow.
I think you can't move Brawl save data over either.
Yeah, they're weird about stuff like
that. Wow.
It's like the big files.
Why? Like, is it because you don't want someone to get the lovely furniture set without really working for it? I don't get it.
Wow. Well, that's weird, too, because it's not like, I mean, you could copy let's say you copy the data off somebody's memory card or something, they still have to buy the game.
Yeah.
They can't play the game off the card, so I don't understand why that would be an issue.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yep.
It's bizarro.
And the other weird thing about this Resident Evil thing is that it might not be a problem if there was more than one save file.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, you know. Yeah. Whatever. All right. We don't like it. Let's move on to the fact that Cave Story is continually delayed.
Yeah. Cave Story was originally supposed to come out yesterday.
August, right?
No. It was originally supposed to come out yesterday, and then I got delayed to August. And now it's not coming out until November 8th, which that's called not budgeting your time properly. what that's called.
This game's going to be the next Duke Nukem Forever.
Yeah. It's not a big surprise because at E3 it seemed kind of rough for a game that's, you know, supposed to be coming out in 2 months. But, it sucks because K-Story 3D would have been in a pretty good position if they released it, you know, in the summer when there's not really any 3DS games coming out. And it would have gained traction in the retail space. But now that it's coming out in November during the system's first big holiday season with other games like, you know, Modern Warfare 2 is launching the same day as it. People are basically saying that, like, oh, that's not a big deal. But it is. If K-Story 3D came out this week, like, okay, it would have been up against RE Mercenaries and
Ocarina to some extent.
Yeah, and Ocarina. But it's coming out in November. It's going to get lost in the shuffle, and it's going to do terribly. I mean, that just sucks for
I completely agree.
Well, and then on top of that, if you ever look at the eShop, it's been, like, featured on, like, staff picks or something like that. Like, every week it's, like, pretty easy to find on one of their curated lists. So
everyone's going to buy it
everyone's going to buy it, and they're going to be like, well, I'm going to just buy it for $10 on the eShop. And then when it comes out on a cartridge, Neil, did they mention price? Is it going to be $40?
It's going to be $40, I believe.
Yeah. So
there's still unannounced, like, extra stuff, but even
they are going to have to add a ton of content to make it worth four times the price.
Yeah.
Like, I think it looks really good. Like, the graphics on it look pretty fantastic.
It looks beautiful.
But it's still a game that I've already played, twice now.
I've never played Cave Story, and I was thinking, well, maybe I'll get Cave Story 3D, but I'm not going to wait till November, especially if I can get it for $30 less, even if it's not in 3D.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's... And, like, I think we were talking about this on a previous episode, but, like, you know, a retail release is a pretty big deal for this game because, you know, it started out as such a, you know, labor of love, like a freeware PC game. The fact that it's coming out retail means that this is probably going to be the way most people experience this game because it's going to have a much bigger audience on store shelves than on a network service. So this is going to be people's first experience with the game, but now they're not going to really notice it because it's going to get drowned out by the holiday noise.
So lost. Like, that's the biggest problem with this delay is that, I mean, it's just as a person who's a pretty big fan of Cave Story, like, this just sucks because really it had the perfect window to come out now. Like, what the hell? Okay, Ocarina of Time. That's, like, the only fucking 3DS game coming out for the next 6 months. Like,
Star Fox is out in, what, August?
Yeah, September. So there's basically, like, no big 3DS game between now and Star Fox, which is coming out on September 11th, which is a whole other
can of worms. Not to mention, like, third-party games. Like,
I'm
third-party
trying to think back, though. I feel like the original DS had a really crummy launch lineup too, and there was
it had a drought of games too.
It feels like this is like the exact same thing over again, and I'm really hoping that it will follow the same path as the DS, and like next year things will just explode at E3.
Our
minds
will
be a million games that you need to own.
Yeah,
well, I remember that year at E3 when like you could walk into the Nintendo booth, walk up to any DS kiosk, and there was like an 80% chance that the game you played was great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It really took a while for the DS to kick off.
Yeah,
it's unfortunate. I would like to try it, but there's no way I'm spending $40 in a game that I've already played twice. I don't care how good it looks.
Yeah. I mean, they really do have to put some awesome special features in for that to be worth $40. Some game with football, maybe?
You need to do a better job of setting up your transition, Zach. some game with football. Yeah, so
speaking of Cave Story.
that's considerably better, believe it or not.
Athletes.
So As listeners to the podcast who have been around for a little while probably are more than well aware, I'm a big fan of the yearly NCAA football series that's not been available on Wii for a long time and wasn't for a long time before it was. So the new one's going to come out on Xbox and PS3 in early July, and I'm going to, of course, be getting a copy of that. But
the demo actually came out this morning. I played it.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's very similar to last year because it's the demo.
Well, they finally put my school's mascot in it, so...
There you go.
It only took them, like, I don't know, over a decade to put Florida State's mascot in the game because it's an actual horse. It's not like a dude in a horse costume. It's an actual horse.
Catering to Sklens. So, yeah, I decided in the run-up to get excited about the new one, I thought I would seek out the lone NCAA game on Wii via the hallowed halls of eBay. And give it a try and kind of see what I missed out on. Because, you know, I considered getting it on Wii when it first came out. But I had already gotten in. I bought a 360 specifically because I knew I'd be playing NCAA every year and wanted to have a better system to play it on. But yet, still, when they announced it was coming to Wii, I thought about picking it up. And, wow, I'm really kind of glad I didn't. So, like I know you've played a good amount of Madden on Wii, Neil. And you said to me on an IM that the... The game got significantly redesigned in, what, 10? Madden 10?
Yeah, so the year after NCAA Football.
Did you play football games on Wii before that?
I have, whether this is a good thing or not, I have played every single Madden game on Wii.
Okay. So you're pretty familiar with the control scheme they had going on before.
Yeah, and I mean, that is still an option in all the later Madden games, just that I think it's freaking awful compared to the point-and-click passing they have now.
So I'm a guy who's been playing this series for a long time, both on PS2 and now on 360, but I am really having a really hard time adjusting to it on Wii.
Well,
now, first of all,
because
the graphics
have the stuff
are...
where you have to you do that motion to hike and then you also do it to throw. I had so many problems where like I'd hike and then just throw the ball into the ground and stuff like that.
Oh, I haven't had that yet. I look forward to having that issue. I haven't had that one yet. I'm a guy who's been playing the system for the game for forever, but I started up a new dynasty, and I'm playing as Nebraska because that's my team. But like I got beat by Western Michigan in game one, and they were blowing me out. I think it was 35-38-7 early in the second half, and I'm like, I can't do anything. Like I can't play defense. I'm playing offense is okay, but I'm getting killed. I actually managed to make that a game. I pulled up to 35-38, and then a turnover. My seventh turnover of the game cost me the game. And then I played a second game, and I lost to San Jose State University, something like 21-14. They got two touchdowns off turnovers in the last 30 seconds. So I'm pretty sure my Wii hates me. But these controls are really not fun at all. Now, this is the year they have the all-play moniker, and so like they have a simple mode. And I'm considering turning it on because here's part of my problem. Okay, so the style of defense that I play is to just to pick the closest player to the guy who's running the ball, hold down, mash down the sprint button, and then dive when I'm close enough. It's ingrained in my brain. I can't play any other way. I've been doing this for 10 years.
There's basic. I mean, when you play, I play the same way. Is that when you're playing those football games, be it NCAA or Madden. I think almost nobody actually plays defense. You just pick,
right.
You pick an outside linebacker and you run for the quarterback, and that is all defense is in those games.
And then when the quarterback throws the ball, you hit the B button to switch to whoever's closest to where the ball goes, and then you sprint and dive. And
the real game is offense.
Yeah, the sprinting and diving is the key here because like the regular tackle motion is just you run into the guy and he falls, but the dive gives you that extra bit of speed at the end to actually catch him. But they mapped sprint to the Z button and dive to the C button. So like I'm having to use either two fingers on the nunchuck to get both of the buttons or like roll my finger up quickly, and it's just the most awkward thing to recreate what is second nature that I'm failing, just outright failing consistently. The game looks awful. I mean, it looks more or less the same as the PS2 version looked, but I was done being like familiar with that, you know, back in like 2006. So it's kind of hard to go back to that now. There are a couple of cool Wii touches, like the referee is actually a Mii, which is kind of cool, I guess. They actually have
Is it really?
Well, it's at least it's at least something that they didn't do on the other system, so it's not like a straight port.
Oh, yeah, great.
So I don't know, like, I'm writing up a feature on the site where I kind of chronicle my one season through NCAA 09, but the way it's going right now, I'm on a two-game losing streak, and I don't know, like, if I can't win a single game before my conference season starts, I don't know if I can continue with this. This is embarrassing. It sucks. I really was hoping this game would be fun, but, like, I desperately just want a goddamn gamepad. That's all I want.
In Madden 12,
like,
that kind of thing should be an option in almost every week.
Yeah, do they have a classic controller scheme?
No.
Yeah, this is actually the first year like, in Madden you have, that you can use a classic controller.
In order to juke, you have to move the nunchuck left and right, which is really hard to adjust to, like, doing that while you're using the analog stick to run. Like, I don't want to shake – I don't want to make a specific motion on my nunchuck while I'm using the analog stick to control a character. That's hard to get used to. And if you use the Wii remote left and right, you do a stiff arm. So I'm constantly stiff arming when I mean to juke because it's like drawing a circle with one hand and a square with the other hand. It just – or a triangle, I guess, with the other hand. It just does not – I can't make my brain work. Passing isn't too bad. You just hold down one of the buttons and flick. That's fine. I mean, it works okay. But the whole thing just kind of...
You know what would be better? If you could just press a button.
Yeah. Like, the whole thing just reeks of, hey, now we have motion controls. Here's what it can do. And the answer is, it can't do anything. I don't want to do this.
The first couple of years of Madden on Wii were like that a lot. I mean, I enjoyed... I didn't really like the first two on it, but I did enjoy 09 because they had 2 years experience behind that. But in Madden 10, I like the point and click passing really helped a lot, and they have taken out a lot of those bullshit motion things as time has gone on.
One of the things about NCAA, though, and I'm not sure if this is true of the Wii version, but it seems that the Xbox, PlayStation versions are always a year behind Madden. So
yeah.
Whatever game enhancements are made to the Madden engine this year won't show up until NCAA 12 or NCAA 13.
Yeah,
that's very true.
So that was probably based on 08.
It was probably based on Madden 08 Wii, not Madden 09 Wii.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's... You know, they have the all-play mode, and I tried that out once, and basically the entire thing boils down to shake your remote for a context-sensitive thing. So, like, if you want to swat a ball, you shake the remote. If you want to kick the ball, you shake the remote. If you want to throw the ball, you shake the remote. It's all...
They actually have... This is my subtle interweaving of the Madden 12 preview that we have up on the site. But they have still the one remote all-play crap. I don't think they call it all-play anymore. But now they have, like, a Wii remote on its side control scheme for Madden 12 that apparently is basically just Tecmo Bowl.
Oh, see, that's awesome.
Nice.
Which is awesome. I was talking to the guy at EA Sports about this. I was like, so how do you use it? He's like, you've played Tecmo Bowl, right? I'm like, yeah, exactly like that.
That's perfect. That's what the Wii is good at.
Yeah.
Like, trying to figure out how to do a complex modern game with an NES gamepad is like largely what the Wii has been very good at.
Yeah. I mean, it is the stuff where, like, you'll be cycling through receivers and stuff. Like, I'm really excited to try that mode when the game comes out.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd play with it too much because I've gotten used to it, and I've gotten used to the other control scheme, and now with Class Controller, I'll probably end up using that more. But I think
it's good when you have friends come over and you just want to play football.
The mantra for Wii has always been finding a new way to play, but Nintendo seems to be uninterested in recognizing that some games don't require a new way to play.
Yeah.
Like, really, just give me a damn gamepad. Anyway, July 12 is the release date for NCAA 12, and I can't wait for that. So that should be fun.
Yep.
Fun.
All right.
And look for my document of failure hitting the website soon.
So, Neil.
Yeah.
I hear you were playing some Ben 10 / Dexter's Lab / other cartoons.
Yeah, I've been spending the past week or so playing Cartoon Network Punch Time Explosion, which is the Smash Brothers clone made by Papaya Studio, who have previously worked on Ben 10 games. It's basically a Smash Brothers clone with Cartoon Network characters. There's, I think, 18 characters to choose from. Pretty good variety. The only shitty thing is that there's 3 Powerpuff Girls. They are each their own
separate character. All 3 are separate characters?
Yeah. However,
bullshit.
They are controlled. It's almost like the differences between Fox, Falco, and Wolf, and that they are pretty different, but they're fundamentally the same.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean,
the
characters are a lot of fun to use. It definitely doesn't feel, it doesn't control as tight as Brawl, or any Smash Brothers game for that matter, but it doesn't feel bad. It's pretty much, like, directly ripped off control-wise for Brawl. And it is, for people desperate for something like that, it's a great alternative. I tried the local multiplayer at the latest Street Pass Princeton event. And there's download play. You can use, like, 4 different characters on one stage. So that's fun to play. So there's that option for download play. And it's really, I mean, you're limited to 4 characters in one stage. But once again, you know, that's good for download play for one game cartridge. Then the local multiplayer is a lot of fun, too, because then you have access to every character, every stage. And it's a bummer that there's not online, but the local multiplayer is a lot of fun. And it is one of those games, like Smash Brothers, where it's more fun when you're actually there with people as opposed to kind of like faceless. But that's the multiplayer. But there's also a story mode in it that has the announcer from the Powerpuff Girls cartoon, like the kind of like 50s guy. I think he also does the voice of Space Ghost. And he narrates a story of, like, you know, like Dexter is a time machine and they go all over to the different Cartoon Network worlds or something.
Kind of like Doctor Who?
Yeah.
Or
actually,
Castlevania,
sort of like
the Castlevania fighting game.
Yeah, or you know, like Subspace Emissary crap too. But it's actually way better than any of the single player things in the Smash Brothers games. Because it's almost like it's like a side-scrolling brawler beat-em-up. Some of the common enemies you can just skip by because they kind of take too long to kill. And sometimes the enemies just feel like that, like you don't have as much control over what you're doing, which kind of ties more into the poor control than the setup of the game. But it does keep it fresh periodically, because like there's like parts where like you'll use a slingshot to, you know, you like draw the slingshot, or not draw the slingshot, but use the touchscreen to pull back the slingshot and fire it off to like knock down ships. And like there's some like side-scrolling shooter sequences, and that's kind of nice because it is that nice little change of pace. So it's not just fighting people over and over again. And that's also the way how you unlock characters as well. And the big secret character is Captain Planet, which I haven't gotten yet.
Captain Planet? I'm looking at the character list right now because I needed to know if Finn and or Jake was in it. But there are no Adventure Time characters in this game.
Yeah, I was hoping for regular show. I'm a big fan of that. We actually, at E3, Aaron and I talked to the developers behind the game, and they said that like how much of a bitch it is to get all the licensing in.
Yeah,
and I mentioned, I was like, dude, Adventure Time, regular show. And the guy was like, if we do another game, or maybe even there's like a console version coming out this fall, that they are trying to get every character they can. It's just that their hands are kind of tied because they have to go through Cartoon Network. Then Cartoon Network has to go to the creators, and then they have to get the creators.
Oh,
wow.
Videos, yeah.
So I mean, it's a pain in the ass, the Adventure Time guy would totally be down for it. I think it may have just been the limitation of the schedule for...
Every day before I go to bed, I hope and I pray that one day Pendleton Ward, the creator of Adventure Time, and Tim Schafer will get together and just make that fucking game. Just do it! And they're friends, and they talk to each other on Twitter all the time, and every time they do, I'm just like, why aren't you making the game? It would be so good!
So, Neil, something I noticed about a lot of – this is not a criticism of you. A lot of your reviews of 3DS stuff are good. Everyone else on the internet fucking hates these games.
You haven't
like,
read
Mercenaries
all of
is getting
the
3DS like fives and sixes.
Well, the Mercenaries, I think that all has to do with different expectations. And maybe people being butthurt about the save file thing. But I mean, that's a lot of the negative reviews I've read about Resident Evil. Like, I mean, not saying that I'm not lumping them all together, but an overwhelming amount are just like, oh, it's not a main Resident Evil game. What the fuck?
Yeah, like, I hate when
I didn't get 25 hours of content out of this. Like, I'm sorry.
I don't have time for 24 hours.
Yeah, I don't
of
have
content.
Time for that. I really enjoy games that like I got. I'll get probably 10 hours of enjoyment out of this game. That's amazing. I'm fine with that.
Yeah. One of my biggest pet peeves is people who write reviews and review the game for what it's not.
Yeah.
Like, this is the game. Review it on those merits. Don't review Legend of Zelda and say, but I can't shoot fireballs and wear a red hat. So this game gets a 6.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like Resident Evil Mercenaries. Like, it's Mercenaries. And some people think that, you know, that's not enough for a full game. And that's cool. That's your opinion. But don't go into it expecting, you know, Resident Evil 4. Like, go into it expecting Resident Evil the Mercenaries.
That's what it says on the box.
With Cartoon Network, in all honesty, like, it's not an amazing game. It's a good game. I'm certainly impressed with it. When I first played it, I was kind of pissed off with it. But then I played more of the story mode and realized how much fun it was. Like, there are definitely problems.
They played it for more than 10 minutes.
The controls don't feel right. Like, it is just such a ripoff of Smash Brothers. But
that's fine.
It's another thing where I'm reading some of these reviews and I feel like I'm playing a different game. And I guess a little insider information is that apparently some of the review builds weren't completely finished versions of the games. Like, the controls weren't fine-tuned. So a lot of those reviews shit on the controls when the controls were fine-tuned a little bit. Still not great, but probably a lot better than those earlier review builds. But, yeah, I need to write a review for that pretty much soon. I was waiting to try the local multiplayer out, like, you know, with the people at it, the Street Pass event I went to last weekend. And I did, so now I just need to sit my ass down and write the review. And I guess just a quick note on another review I just posted, which is the Transformers 3DS review, which is surprisingly way shittier than the movie, and the movie is a piece of crap. Like,
nice.
It's a Transformers game where you don't transform. It doesn't make any fucking
sense.
What
is that?
You drive a car, and you go from driving a car with just the circle pad, like you go up to accelerate and shit like that. That's all you do, and you press the A button, and then you transform into a car that controls even worse and can shoot some guns. Like, it's terrible.
I remember reading that in the developer interview for the 3DS game, where he said it was a vehicle combat game, and I thought, you're not going to be able to transform. It's going to be like that stupid car battle game on PlayStation,
yeah,
Twisted
like,
Metal.
I mean, it's way worse than Twisted Metal. It's like if Twisted Metal was made by like a retarded panda. I'm sorry, Special Panda. I don't mean to offend anyone. But like, oh man, it's so bad.
Wow.
But I'm done.
How did they screw that up? Somewhere along the line, somebody said, "Do they have to transform?"
Yeah, I mean, it's made by different people because Vicarious Visions always made the Transformers DS games.
Right, right.
And they were
pretty good.
This is made by, I guess, Behavior Interactive Entertainment. I don't know. It used to be Artificial Mind and Movement before.
I feel like I just recently played a game by Behavior.
Before Artificial Mind and Movement realized that their abbreviation, A2M, also stood for Ass to M, and then changed their name accordingly. That is legitimately what happened. It's like there was like an interview with them where they're like, "Yeah, we changed it to Behavior because of Kevin Smith."
Yeah, that sounds right, Kevin Smith.
Wow,
awesome.
Well, there you go, Mike. I hear you've been rocking the eShop.
I mean, we all. You guys have talked about a lot of this stuff, but obviously I haven't been on. So I guess I would just briefly catch everyone up on my thoughts on the 3DS, which I got, I don't know, I think first week of April is when I got it. I like it.
After the launch rush.
Yeah, I think I still bought it within the quote-unquote launch window. I don't know.
I think we're still in the launch window, given the quality of the games that are out right now.
But I got it. For a while, I had no games for it. Like a week later, I ended up getting Pilot Wings, which is good. I enjoy it.
Hey, same story.
I would have been like to get something else, but there was nothing else to get. I was kind of torn between Pilot Wings and Steel Diver, but I figured Pilot Wings probably
you
had
made
a
the better choice
in it. And I played Steel Diver at PAX, and I was like, "This is all right, I guess." I liked Pilot Wings. I haven't finished it yet. Actually, I kind of stopped playing it. I was on eShop like at 3 a.m. or whatever as soon as it went up that day before E3. Very excited to get my Excitebike on. Excitebike's
pretty
good. Yeah,
that's a pretty fun game.
I enjoy it. I really like the way the 3D depth works, but all it doesn't change the gameplay at all. The game is still on a 2D plane. Everything is exactly like it is in Excitebike, except there's depth to the track and there's like depth to the stadium. And that's,
yeah, I'm glad
that's
I didn't
great.
Pay any
it
money
great.
For it.
Yeah. Well, I would have paid like $5 for it, but I imagine Nintendo would probably charge closer to $10.
After playing World Rally on WiiWare, I got really kind of excited for this, thinking it might be something better, but, like, World Rally spoiled me. Like, I really liked that game, and it's the new one just kind of seems... I mean, I know it's what it was. It's always been antiquated. Yeah, it just doesn't quite hold up.
But I did get when the second week of the eShop came around and they announced Donkey Kong, I was like, what the fuck is this? It's just a Donkey Kong game. This is the only thing they're releasing this week. And then I got a bunch of replies on Twitter from people that were like, oh no, this is Donkey Kong 94, which is apparently like the definitive Donkey Kong. So I was like, well, whatever. I don't have any virtual console games. And I think I was actually like 10 points away from platinum status on Club Nintendo. So I was like, I'll just buy it because it's only $4. And then I'll get my nice platinum reward. So I got it and I was like, I played it and I was like, well, it's just Donkey Kong. And I was like, oh no, it's not just Donkey Kong. It is like 100 something stages of puzzle platforming that is basically the precursor to Mario versus Donkey Kong, which I absolutely loved to death Mario versus Donkey Kong. So this game I thought was really, really fantastic and probably the biggest surprise in terms of like, these are my expectations for this game. This is how I actually feel about this game. The biggest disparity in a long time in the positive direction.
Yeah.
Did you know, Mike, that it was the first Super Game Boy game to have a border and color?
I did not. I knew it had Super Game Boy functionality, and I kind of wish that was in the 3DS. So I don't see there's...
Me too.
There's no reason it couldn't be there.
Yeah, exactly. That should have been the border instead of the Game Boy.
Though I do like that when you boot it up with the Game Boy border, you can use the 3D slider to push the depth of the fake Game Boy screen.
Yeah,
right.
I like that a lot. That's cool. An excellent touch.
Oh, and apparently, and I learned this randomly while fiddling with buttons, if you hold L and R... And press, I think,
and then press Y.
Button, yeah, you can
make
it
from black and white to pea soup. Yeah,
yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's the only way to play with that and the 3D depth slider.
Funny, Zach, I think it was last week you made that comment to me, and I was just like, "Eh, I don't really care that much." And then I switched to it, and it's the only way I play now.
They should let you use the analog stick to add blur.
Yeah,
oh, that'd be cool.
So I enjoyed the hell out of it. The only thing I will say, it is exceedingly tempting, and I did it a lot, to use the save state feature in this game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Through, like, the last about 3 worlds worth of levels, I would, like, make a jump and, like, get over an obstacle, and I would be like, okay, save state.
Yeah.
Now if I die, I can stop there. Like, the final battle against Donkey Kong, where you have to hit him with something like 9 or 10 barrels,
it's
I
save
stated, and you have to jump up, and if you don't jump, then the barrels fall, and, like, you have to time everything perfectly, otherwise you lose the barrel, and you have to do the whole thing all over again.
Yeah.
So I would like, okay, I'm on top of the platform, save state. Okay, I have the barrel, save state. Okay, I hit Donkey Kong, save state.
I did the same thing.
But it's not like the game is skimpy with extra lives.
Yeah.
No, I know, it's not. I like, by the end of the game, I had like 70-something lives. And I love that when it totals your lives at the end of every world, it's like you get a life for every 100 points you've earned. But then also, if you have any leftover points, it just rounds it up to 100 and gives you another life.
Yeah. I love that. I always love that.
230 points, so you get 3 lives because you have more than 200 points gets you 3 lives. 201 points, 299 points, 3 lives.
Yeah, that's so a great game. You didn't get Link's Awakening, Mike?
I played it on Game Boy Color. The first Game Boy I ever owned was a Game Boy Color. And I think I got it like right when Link's Awakening came out. Or no, the first game I got for it was Pokemon Blue. And then
right
Link's
on.
Awakening came out, I think, pretty shortly after that, and I got that. I actually never beat it, so I've been thinking about buying it and replaying it.
It is an excellent game, and it's the DX version, which is awesome.
That's the one I had. So
okay.
I played it, and it's got that special color dungeon, I remember, and I played that.
Yeah.
I never beat it, though, so I've been thinking about spending the $6 to get it. I just haven't done it yet.
Neil, have you beat it yet?
No. Like I said last week, I've beaten Wind Waker, Minish Cap, and Ocarina of Time in about 2 months, and I'm now halfway through Link's Awakening, and I'm just so fatigued with Zelda games.
I need to replay Wind Waker. I keep thinking, man, I need to replay Wind Waker.
Yeah, no, I thought that, and then I did it, and I don't regret it. That game's freaking amazing. It's just that, I mean, every Zelda game's kind of the same. Like,
yeah,
they have the little differences, but it's the same experience.
Except Wind Waker ends with you putting a sword in Ganon's head.
True.
Now, I was thinking about this, and Ocarina of Time ends the same way. You stab Ganon in the face.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I totally would have been shocked if I saw that again.
The sages freeze him, and then you're all like, "What's up, Ganon?" And you stab him in the nose.
Nice. Yep. I loved when that happened in Wind Waker, because the game is very cutesy looking, and it's got this beautiful childish art style to it that is just probably the best looking Zelda game, if you ask me.
Oh, but yeah.
I agree.
Then you get to the very end of it, and it's like the most violent possible death for this game to end with.
Yeah.
Right through the head. Like, he like jumps up and like runs it down. Like, he's got, you know, he's like pretty high up, and he's falling on Ganon's head, and gravity's all, and he's like,
and the sword goes all the way in.
Yeah, it's like intense. I was when I saw it for the first time, I was like, "Holy shit, that was hardcore!"
Yeah.
So yeah, speaking of Zelda, I also picked up Ocarina of Time.
Hell yeah!
I wasn't gonna get it because I was like, I played Ocarina of Time, like I played it, but I ended up getting it because Carl said the same thing that like he wasn't gonna get it, and then he got it, and he was like, "I'm so glad I got this."
I liked his story that he told on Twitter. He said he got it, and I said, because he'd been saying for a long time he wasn't even going to touch it. It's
yeah, like he didn't even consider it.
Yeah, and I said to him, "What pushed you over the edge?" And he said, "You know what? I wasn't going to get it, but I was in the mall and I walked past a GameStop and they had a poster on the window."
I do love that story.
And 10 minutes later, I got the game.
Like, he had like negative interest in the game, and then it just fucking passed by a poster.
That's basically what happened with me. Like, I wasn't planning on getting it, and my wife saw the poster, and she was like, "Ooh,
I have not seen this. I have not seen this mythical poster." What got me to buy it was Chris Kohler and then Billy were both like freaking jizzing over how much better it looks all over Twitter, and I was like, "Man, maybe I will get it." And Carl was like, "Dude, I caved and bought it, and they're totally right." And I was like, "All right, well, I guess I'll go buy it." So if Carl hadn't caved, there's a very good chance that I would not have the game.
If I hadn't seen so many overwhelmingly positive reviews,
yeah,
I guess we really shouldn't be
surprised that Ocarina of Time is garnering overwhelmingly positive reviews, but
yeah,
I just beat the Fire Temple. And I had played the Master Quest on the GameCube, because I've got that disc that has like Ocarina of Time and Master Quest that is apparently worth like a good chunk of change.
$50.
Yeah. So I've got that, but I played it, and I was playing the Master Quest, but the Master Quest is a bitch, and I stopped playing it in the middle of Jabu Jabu's stomach. And then I just never picked it up again, like years ago, so I was like, well, maybe I'll actually play it this time. And now I'm all the way through the Fire Temple, and I'm at Lake Hylia right now.
Yeah.
Looking towards the Water Temple.
That's exactly where I am.
Yeah, I mean...
And I love it! It's freaking great! And the great thing about it is that I basically forgot like the entire game.
Yeah, me too.
Isn't
that awesome?
I got through the Deku Tree on pure memory. Like, I know exactly what to do in the fucking Deku Tree. And
there's only like 4 rooms in the Deku Tree.
And I got through Dodongo's Cavern pretty much the same way. Jabu Jabu, I had to remember, like, I forgot a couple things. I forgot that you have to talk to Ruto like 20 times before she'll fucking go with you.
Yeah,
I hate her.
And I can't remember who I was talking to now on Twitter about it, but we got into this debate about, I think it is probably the only real flaw with Ocarina of Time is that when you get to that scene, you have to talk to her. I think you actually only have to talk to her like 3 or maybe 4 times before she'll go with you. But she tells you like 2 or 3 times to go away. And I'm sitting here as the player saying, well, the game is telling me not to bother with her. And then I wander around for like 20 minutes in the dungeon trying to figure out what to do. And eventually I go back to her and she's like, oh, I'll go with you.
Yeah.
Fuck you, bitch! If she protested once, I would understand it, but she's like, insistent about it! And it fooled me again. I think it fooled me that time I played the Master Quest like 5 or 6 years ago, too. And that's probably why I stopped playing it.
I had some trouble with the Fire Temple. There's a room in there where you're jumping from grate to grate, and there's like a wall of fire following you.
Uh-huh.
And there's a door, like, to your left, way up on a platform.
Yep.
And it doesn't look for the world like you can make it up there with a jump.
Yeah, but you can.
But it turns out you can.
I made it through the Forest Temple. I forgot how awesome the Forest Temple was. I love that twisty hallway.
Yeah.
And the music, too.
That's where I'm at right now.
I made it through the Fire Temple I didn't get the map or the compass.
Wow.
I don't know how I did that. I got the hammer, and I beat the dragon, and then I left the temple, and I was like, I got to the dragon, and I was like, I don't have the map or the compass. How the fuck did I do this? not so much how did I navigate without them? Like, literally, how did I miss them?
Yeah, right. Because it's not like you just missed one. You missed both.
I missed both of them.
Because you get them when you beat that, like, fire dancer guy, right?
That's what I thought, but I didn't get them.
Maybe you just walked past the treasure chest that appeared.
I never saw. There was no animation of the chest appearing.
Wow. Well, I know there's bugs in the game. Maybe you scuttle across some bugs.
And I fought two of those fire dancer things.
Yeah.
And neither of them got me anything. And I could have sworn when I beat the first one, I was like, oh, yeah, this is where you get the map. And then I didn't get the map.
It could be some kind of bug, because I'm pretty sure you get both of those items when you beat the fire dancers.
Maybe I'm just stupid and I totally missed them. Like, maybe they were in the rooms and I just jumped onto the platforms and ignored them.
You know what I really like about Ocarina of Time 3D, though? The little hint things, because... I played this for review. So
hey,
I was playing it. I was playing it on the flight to E3, and there were times where I'd be stuck because I was in the second half of the game. I was like Shadow Temple and Water Temple, and it's been probably a decade since I've played either of those, so I didn't remember anything. But I'd be stuck, and I'd be like scratching my brain about it. I was like, wait a minute, I can just go to that Chica Stone and then go crawl inside, and it'll tell me what to do. But it doesn't tell you exactly what to do. It just gives you a really nice hint about it, which...
Gives you, like, a poke in the right direction?
Yeah, it's just kind of like, maybe you should go over there and use the hover boots. And then I'm like, thanks, game.
Nice.
Oh, right,
the
wing
boots. The game is basically totally new to me at this point. Everything past Jabu Jabu I had totally forgotten.
Yeah,
so
I remember that.
I'm going through these dungeons, and I'm like, how the fuck do I do this? I totally forgot it.
Yeah, I remember the Young Link stuff, and then, like, you know, I remember all the bosses and stuff. But even like, with the Twin Rova, like, I realized, it, once again, it's been over a decade since I've ever fought that boss.
That dragon didn't look nearly as cool as I remembered.
Yeah. Apparently, Volvagia has the same, AI or animation as R-Wings or something like that.
What?
They said, like, basically the same AI for Volvagia was used for the R-Wing, I think.
That's weird, because you control the R-Wing.
Yeah.
I guess are they talking about, like, the support team, I guess?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like, Slippy and Volvagia?
Yeah.
I think Volvagia has the same AI as the first boss in Beyond Good and Evil.
I
like that the Volvagia battle is just whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
I'm really impressed with how good the game looks in 3D.
Yeah, it looks beautiful.
It's like
that's really good.
I keep it around like 50-60% on the 3D. I tend to do that with most of the games.
Yeah.
Anything higher, like I jiggle my hands a little when I play, and anything higher than about 60% breaks the 3D too often. So
yeah. Especially when you're trying to aim.
Oh, that is another thing I should mention about this. I did not think that the gyro controls would be at all useful. I thought I would.
Oh, they're awesome!
Complete throwaway.
They're fantastic.
They're brilliant.
They're so
absolutely
wonderful.
Like, I mean, I'll use the circle pad to like point myself in the right direction, but after that, I'm like, when I need to like fine tune on something, just move the gyro. When you do the shooting gallery in Kakariko Village,
so much better.
Yeah. That probably took me at least 20 tries on the N64, at least. I got it in 3 this time.
Nice.
Usually, I mean, because it's so quick, you can just move, and the circle pad is slow, and you overshoot things. But when you move it yourself, you don't overshoot it. You're just like...
It's intuitive.
Okay. Yeah, it's very intuitive. And the only reason I didn't get it right away is because I forgot that there's those two red gems that move really quick, and you have to shoot ahead of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a little bit of an issue with, the first shooting gallery, but I didn't attribute that in any way to the control scheme. It was just, I was doing a crappy job at it.
Oh, and like, also, this is really funny. When I was playing it, I was sitting on the edge of the bed, and I had started on the edge of the bed facing one direction, and then I only got like 8 gems, so I had to redo it. But in that time, I'd like shifted my body and turned my entire body 90 degrees. Because I was still in the shooting gallery mode, it didn't recalibrate. So when the shooting gallery came back up, I was looking at the shopkeeper. Because the game had rotated my view 90 degrees because I moved my body.
Nice.
Yeah, so there's a glitch right there. It doesn't recalibrate every time you start the... If you if you just, if you're like, if you get a free play because you hit at least 8 gems, it doesn't recalibrate. You just, it assumes you're sitting in the same spot and you haven't moved.
Well, what you should have to do, they should have put in there, point the 3DS at the center of the TV and press A and B.
Yeah, I think those are all of my thoughts on Ocarina and Donkey Kong and all things
3DS. Nice. What do you think of the eShop? It's pretty nice, huh?
It's nice. I mean, you know, they needs more content.
They had no.
Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say. I'm really worried. I'm really worried that they're.
So I do have a lot of that DSiWare content that I can buy.
There are a ton of good DSiWare games.
I got PictoBits on a couple of recommendations from friends, and PictoBits is really good. So.
I love. I've been replaying PictoBits. Like once again, how we were talking about save files earlier in the show. I'm not really too bummed out that I lost all my save files for my DSiWare games, because at this point it's been a while since I've played all of them. So it's nice to like, you know, replay PictoBits, replay Shantae, stuff like that.
Yeah, and if I ever hit a drought, like in gaming, like over the summer or something, if I don't have anything to play, I could see myself going into the eShop and picking up some of those older titles. I think the next one on my list is probably just going to be Cave Story. I don't think I'm going to spend $40 on it when I can get it for $10.
Yeah.
I'm really worried that they're drip-feeding us virtual handheld games.
Yeah.
Of the quality of Alleyway and Tennis and
Battleship
thing.
Kirby's in Europe last week, right?
No, Kirby's Europe this week. It's weird. I was talking to one of our people over in Europe about how it all works out, and it's something like, and like in Japan, I guess it all comes out on like Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that. And then in Europe, it used to, like the WiiWare and DSiWare stuff came out on Fridays, and that got moved up to Thursday. But it's actually, and then it used to be Monday here, and now it's Thursday. But it used to be Monday morning, but now it's Thursday at noon Eastern time, which I mean, it's morning for West Coasters. But the Europe one, there's a press release for it always before the day, but the new content actually doesn't get released until after the North America content. But the North America content, you don't know what it is until the day of.
Yeah, they put the press release out like a couple hours ahead of it.
Yeah, like usually that's like it. 8 a.m. Eastern time. Yeah.
So I wonder what will. I mean, I guess it stands to reason that we could get Kirby, but then again, we might not. We might get that in like 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, Kirby 1 isn't fantastic. We'll Kirby 2 is good.
Yeah, Kirby 1 is the one where you can't actually use powers, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'll pass on that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just like Super Mario Land was surprisingly short. Kirby is shorter.
Yeah.
Do you guys think, and this, I mean, I don't know if it's a long shot, but do you think we'll ever get Virtual Boy games on 3DS Virtual Console?
Yes.
I hope every day, because I rented a Virtual Boy once from Blockbuster, and I played Mario Clash.
I remember you
can
do
bled.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I got Mario Clash like a month or two ago. I got a Virtual Boy last summer. And finally, I bit the bullet and was just like, look, I can find Mario Clash for like $15 on eBay. I'll just get it.
There was a time when they were like $20 in a bargain bin at GameStop or EB Games or whatever it was back then. And I was in like middle school, and I was like, I kept thinking maybe I should get one, but it kind of sucks, and it's on its way out, so I shouldn't get one.
Yeah.
But they were only $20, and now they go for like $100 on eBay.
Yeah, I got mine.
I
should have
bought
like,
one for $20.
I got mine with a couple games brand for new. I think like $50 or $60.
That's not bad.
So yeah, I got a really really good deal because it was the kind of thing where like he said like, you know, it was $50 for the system, and I was like, what about the games? He's like, you know what? It's been here for a while. I'll throw in the games for free, and I was like, yeah.
Wow.
I got awesome. And I got Wario Land, Vertical Force, and I think Red Alarm initially, which are three good
games. It always amazes me. The Virtual Boy was on the shelves for like 6 months before
it
started
like
being in the bargain bin. Yeah.
Yeah, I really hope
they
get those games.
They were giving that shit away at the end. Yeah, it would be cool if we got those. All right. Is that a newscast, gentlemen?
I think it is. Virtual Boy
I
from
do
life.
Believe so.
All right. Well, that was the show. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave a good review.
Send us an email at newscast@nintendoworldreport.com.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten any good listener mail in a while, but then we've also been doing 30-minute shows, so go figure.
This will be a nice break from that.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
All right.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.